When you got saved, you got a target put on your own chest. And you entered a battle. You entered a war. And a lot of Christians have totally forgotten about that. God did not save us to make us comfortable. God saved us to bring us into a good fight.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we begin a new message entitled, How Faith Fights. This is the fourth chapter on the series called Now Faith Is. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
If you've been a Christian for very long at all, it's no news to you that we Christians are in a spiritual battle. Paul the Apostle told young Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. He talked also about the weapons of our warfare and the invisible but real battlefield of the mind. He compared our faith to a mighty shield that deflects and renders Satan's fiery arrows harmless. Today we're going to look at the warfare we're in and explore how faith fights the battle. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, How Faith Fights.
All right, I want to talk to you about faith today. How many of you are ready to talk about faith? Now, I want to talk to you about how faith fights. I want you to get that concept and want you to think with me and let it go from here to here that faith fights. And I want to read to you out of 2 Timothy 4:7. It says only one quick verse. Let's read it together. It's one of my favorites. It's what we all of us want to be able to say about our lives at the end of our lives. Amen? So let's read it together. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Father, thank you for your word today, and I pray that you will bless it, minister in it. And I'm asking you, Lord, to build up our faith, strengthen our faith. I pray for supernatural understanding, that we will see faith in a new light, a stronger light today. And Lord, we will walk out of your understanding the way that faith brings us the victory when our faith is in you. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Will you breathe a prayer and say, Lord, speak to my heart today. I receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God heard that prayer. You can be seated. God bless you. Let me recap real quickly. We've seen that faith is the guarantee of things you're hoping for. Think about that. It's the substance or the guarantee of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things you don't see yet. So if you have faith for something and that something is in the will of God for you, then faith is the guarantee that one day it's going to show up. God's going to provide it. We've seen that faith is not moved by circumstances. You know what moves faith? The promises of God. Faith is moved by the Word of God. It's moved by the promises of God. Faith responds to the Word of God. And then it sees and greets what hasn't appeared yet, as if it's already there. That's the way faith acts. Isn't that weird? Faith will say, hi there, when it's not there yet. So as Christians, we walk by faith. We are not to walk by sight, but we walk by faith. By faith. Not by what circumstances tell us, not what negative reports tell us, not what people tell us, but what faith says. We walk by faith. We see by faith and not by the sight of our natural eyes. There's things I see today that aren't here yet, but I see it as if it's there. Amen? Now, today I want to talk to you about how faith fights. How faith fights. Now, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. Now, we know that his fight didn't have anything to do with physical. He's not saying he was out there beating people up, converting them to Christianity by the fist. Amen? We don't cut off heads or stab people or beat people up to convert them. No. He said, I have fought a good fight. And earlier in the letter, he tells us what he means by that. What is a good fight? He says to Timothy earlier, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So there you have it. He says the good fight is the fight of faith. And the fight of faith is the only good fight. And why is it a good fight? Because of the outcome of the fight of faith. When we fight the fight of faith, we are advancing the kingdom of God, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and seeing righteousness rule and reign where once evil and wickedness did. So it's a good fight. How many of you can say that when you came to Jesus and gave your heart to him, somebody had been praying for you, and when you left Satan's kingdom for God's kingdom, the good fight that they prayed over you was worth it because Satan lost ground and Jesus gained ground when you got saved.
Amen.
Amen. There are people all around us who spend their entire lives involved in fleshly fights, silly fights, wrong-headed fights, physical fights, useless fights, and unwinnable fights. They spend their whole life fighting over things that don't really matter. But none of that is true for the fight of faith. The fight of faith is a good fight. It's worth our life. It's worth our prayers. It's worth our strength. It's worth our all. The good fight of faith. And if you're a Christian, can I just inform you today, you got drafted whether you like it or not. You're in a war. You're on a battlefield. If you know that's true, say amen.
Amen.
You're on a battlefield. You got drafted. When you came to Jesus, you didn't know it, but you were entering into a major spiritual conflict. And when you got saved, you got a target put on your own chest. And you entered a battle. You entered a war. And a lot of Christians have totally forgotten about that. God did not save us to make us comfortable. God saved us to bring us into a good fight. Come on, everybody. The Bible talks about those who are at ease in Zion. Let me tell you something. If Jesus is your Lord and you are walking with him with all of your heart, you are not in ease in Zion. You have peace with God, but you are in a battle. We're in a warfare. And the Bible talks about it over and over again. Now, usually when you hear the word faith, you think of somebody who has just put their trust in God. Well, there's somebody who just put their belief in God. They believe in God. When you hear the word faith, you go, they believe in God. And we don't usually equate faith with fighting. That's not what we think about when we hear about faith. We don't think about faith as something that fights. But faith is not only the means by which we're saved and go on to obtain the promises of God, but it's also a weapon by which we fight the good fight, a spiritual battle, and we gain the victory. Who is he and what is that overcomes the world, John said? Even our faith. Now in Ephesians 6, Paul calls faith a shield. He gives us the famous armor of God, and he says, above all, you take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now I want you to listen carefully to that verse. It's very powerful. It tells us something about the warfare that we're in. And some of you are in a battle today. You're in a battle in your home. You're in a battle in your marriage. You're in a battle with your children. You're in a battle over your finances. Some of you are in a real battle. And so I want you to listen carefully because I'm going to tell you today, out of God's word, how to win. How many of you want to win?
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. Wake up. How many of you want to win?
Yeah.
Amen. The greatest winner of all time is living inside of you. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to this. The shield of faith by which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, in the old days, the Bible days, we're told by archaeologists that when it came to ancient warfare, soldiers made spears that were tipped with flammable liquid. So they have this long spear with this sharp point, and it has been tipped with combustible liquid that they would light and then throw the spear. They would throw this spear, and if they threw it at a person, it not only wounded them, it burned them. But if they threw it at a dwelling, it not only struck the dwelling, but it set the dwelling on fire. And I want you to notice that this is how Paul describes the fiery spears or arrows shot at us by the devil. The idea behind the devil's attacks, the fiery darts that Paul talks about, is he will hurl them suddenly and unexpectedly, a temptation or an attack strikes us. And the devil has designed it not only to stick, but to set our souls on fire. That's the idea, to set our souls on fire. Now, I want to tell you that when I got saved and I came to Jesus and he filled me with the Holy Spirit, I experienced a spiritual fire. He set my spirit on fire. I like to call it Holy Ghost heartburn. Holy Ghost heartburn is as real as anything in the world, because it says the Holy Spirit fell on them on the day of Pentecost like a fire resting over their heads. And that was not by mistake, because God takes cold, sinning, dead hearts, and when we become born again, he sets us on fire for God, sets us on fire for Jesus. It's called zeal, but I call it Holy Ghost heartburn. You don't need a Rolaids for it. You don't need the purple pill for it. You don't want to put it out. And I got lit when I was 18, and I've been lit ever since, and sometimes I think it's getting worse. I'm lit. And if you're lit today, I want you to say amen. Come on, lit. But here's the deal. The soul can be set on fire by other things. And that's the idea behind the devil's fiery darts. Your soul can be set on fire with lust, with fear, with unbelief, with hate. Look at our world today. Look at how much of our world has been set on fire by hate. How many people burn with hate. I want you to know, Holy Ghost heartburn comes from God. But the kind of fire I'm talking about here, the other kinds of fire, don't come from God. God doesn't light anybody on fire with hate or fear or unbelief or lust. He sets us on fire with holy zeal for the works of God and to know Jesus and to love him and to draw near to him and to press into him and to glorify him. But these other things that set our souls on fire come from the fiery darts. Amen. Satan lights that spear. Let me get this person right here on fire with hate. He throws it. And it strikes your mind. And not only does it stick in your mind, but it sets your soul on fire. And you start hating people. You start turning on people. You get bitter at people. And on it goes. Paul says that if we're exercising our faith, walking in Bible faith, the fiery attack will strike the shield of your faith and fall to the ground, extinguished, quenched, put out. And I love that. Satan says, let me light him on fire. He lights the spear or the arrow, and he aims it and he fires it. But you've got your shield of faith up. Above all, taking the shield of faith, you've got it up, and that fiery arrow strikes the shield and falls to the ground. And it's out. And it doesn't stick. It doesn't get you on fire. It doesn't set your soul on fire. It doesn't burn you. It is totally deflected by the shield of your faith. So what we want to see today is, how does faith become a shield that protects us in the day of battle? A spiritual weapon that defeats the attempts of our enemy to shoot us down and to defeat us. Because the devil can't take you out of heaven, but he'll try to hinder you. He'll try to distract you. He'll try to get you caught up in other things that have nothing to do with God's will for you. And one of the ways he does it is setting your soul on fire with something that God doesn't want you to have. So how do we hold up the shield of faith to deflect the burning temptations, the fiery fears, the flaming missiles Satan throws at us? How does faith fight and win? Well, I'm going to use a simple acronym today. I want you to say the word with me, SPY. SPY. Now, I'm going to use that acronym, and each of those letters is going to represent a powerful truth about spiritual warfare and how to win. Because, listen, Bible faith is fighting faith, and fighting faith is winning faith. He always leads us in victory in Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. So God wants us to win, not lose. So I'm going to use that acronym, SPY, and here's what the letters stand for. Say them with me. Stand. Punch. Yield. So when you get into a battle, I want you to always remember this acronym. It's not if you get into a battle, it's when you get into a battle. Remember, spy. I'm going to know how to stand, I'm going to know how to punch back, and I'm going to know how to yield. So let me deal with them one at a time. First, fighting faith, winning faith, always stands on the Word of God. It always stands on the authority of the Word of God. Did you know that in Ephesians 6, when Paul's talking about the armor of God, he uses the word stand 3 different times. That's how important it is. He says that you may be able to stand. Then he says, having done all, to stand. And then stand, therefore. So Paul pictures you and I in a spiritual battle. We are not knocked down. We are not on the mat. He pictures us standing. He's telling us what to do so that we are not knocked down and knocked out, but we remain standing and strong after the battle is over. Standing. Not shell-shocked, standing. Not down, standing. Not having been defeated, but having won the battle. Standing. In the day of battle, everything hinges on how and where you take your stand, where you station yourself, how you take your stand. Every boxer knows this is true. Every wrestler knows this is true. How you take your stand, how you position yourself, has everything to do with whether or not you win or lose. And if you lean on your own strength or worldly solutions, you will go down in defeat. But the Bible says if you do what the Bible is telling us to do, the Bible promises we will stand. Having done all, stand. Stand, therefore. When it's all said and done and the dust is settled, we are standing. Now, I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, we read of David's mighty men. Now, there were 3 top mighty men, and one of them's name was Shammah. And I love Shammah. Don't name your son Shammah, because that's kind of hard. Hey, Sham. But Sham was one of the top 3. And there's a reason he was one of the top 3. One day, the Philistines attacked God's people in a field full of lentils. Now, how many of you love lentil soup? So we know what this is talking about, lentils. It's just a bean field. And God's people were working this field. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just like the devil always does, because the Philistines always represent the devil in the Bible, the Philistines attacked them while they were just doing their daily work, going about their daily business, working this lentil field. All of a sudden, the Philistines attacked them out of nowhere. And the Bible says that all of them fled, ran, and gave up the field to the Philistines, except one man, Shammah. And the Bible says, but he stationed himself in the middle of a field of lentils, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now, please, folks, use your sanctified imagination a minute. Here is one man. He's got a whole army of Philistines coming against him. Everybody has run in fear. But Shammah stands his ground by himself in the name of his God, draws his sword, and single-handedly fights off and totally defeats an entire army of Philistines. Spine of steel. I like him. Amen? Now, I want you to notice that the Holy Ghost wrote the Word of God. You know that. The Holy Ghost moved on holy men of old and gave them what to write. So the Holy Ghost doesn't waste words. The Holy Ghost, if the Holy Spirit puts something in the Bible, he wants us to see it and take note of it. And here's what I noticed, that Shammah stood strategically in the middle of the field. In the middle of the field. And that was the most strategic position he could get in, because in the middle of the field, he saw the enemy coming from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. You could not surprise him. He saw you coming. And so he drew that sword. They're coming from the north. He took care of them. They come from the south. He takes care of them. He sees them coming from this way, and he sees them coming from the other way. He strategically positioned himself in the middle of the field, and the way he stationed himself had everything to do with whether or not he won or lost the battle. And he thoroughly won. Can you imagine being one of these Philistines and going back to your commanding officer and telling him, well, everybody ran but one guy, but that one guy whooped all of us. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, the Bible is telling us about his position on purpose, because it was the perfect position to win the battle. And in the same way, folks, when we station ourselves in the middle of God's word, listen carefully to me. What field do you run to, and how do you position yourself in that field when you come under attack? Listen, when I come under attack, you're going to find me making a beeline for my Bible, and I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to saturate my mind in the word of God, and I'm going to stand in the middle of that field, the field of the word of God. That is the most strategic place of victory. Folks, Bible faith always stands on the authority of God's word. Amen. Always, always. Let me ask you a question. Where do you run when you get under attack? Can I tell you where not to run? Don't run to Oprah. Don't run to Dr. Phil. Amen. Run to the word of God, because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, if you come here very much, I'm a broken record with this. I can't tell you how much I believe in going to the word of God for victory. If that's what Jesus did, and that's what Paul did, he called the Bible, or the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. If that's what they used, it's good enough for me. So say with me, the first letter in spy is S for stand. Stand on the word of God. Now, I'm going to come back to the word of God in just a moment, so don't forget it. Kind of put it on the back burner. Let me go to the second one. The second letter in the word spy is P, and that's for punch. Listen, Bible faith punches back. Bible faith punches back, pushes back. Not only does Paul use the word stand three times in Ephesians 6, but he uses another word that's kind of similar, withstand. Withstand. He says in Ephesians 6:13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, the evil day is the day of spiritual attack. Now, notice he used the word withstand. Three times he says stand, but here once he says withstand. Withstand is different from stand. Stand means you're in a defensive mode. You're standing there, somebody's coming at you, and you're defending yourself. But withstand means to oppose, to fight back, to resist, to push back against. We could say to punch back. Amen. Yeah. Bible faith doesn't lay there and give up ground to the devil. Right. Come on, everybody. No, no. God does not call Christians to lay down and allow the devil to beat up on you and you do nothing about it. Faith is not just passive belief. It doesn't just mean, well, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe in God out there. Yeah, I believe in God out there. The Bible says the devils also believe and they tremble. No, no, that's not what we're talking about. Bible faith is active. There is an aggressive edge to Bible faith. It fights back, pushes back. It throws punches. Now back to Shammah for a moment. The field he defended. Why would he sit there and stand and risk his whole life, literally, to defend a bean field? Here's why. Because the bean field wasn't his. It was his king's. It was King David's field. It was a part of the kingdom of Israel. So when that field came under attack, he had another motive. His motive was not to defend his field. His motive was to defend the honor and the glory of his king who owned it. So he fought with his life to defend something that looked insignificant, but it was not.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this message entitled, How Faith Fights. In this series, we call Now Faith Is. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.